Heavenly Father, we're very, very happy to be here in your presence, Lord, with your people that you've predestinated, Lord, by foreknowledge and election, making your calling sure, Lord, by being one with this word in this hour. And we appreciate that, and we're thankful for it, Lord. We only pray, Father, that whatever you have for us, we shall not miss by being blind, knowing this is an age of great blindness to the things of God. It's a great contagion. It's a pandemic, Lord, without a doubt, that all around the world, blindness, Lord, and wrong information, wrong thoughts, wrong conclusions, Lord, and we don't want to be caught up in that. So we pray, Father, that you will completely sanctify us to the truth as never before, Lord. And then may we have strength to walk in the truth, Lord, and be as lights that cannot be hid, Father, nor have a desire to be hid, but rather to shine for your honor and glory. May somehow, Father, may we reflect your glory just a little bit, that people might realize the goodness of God in our lives. So, Father, we ask you now to help us in the remainder of this service. May your word have free course, be glorified. Your people be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the message that I'm looking at that Brother Branham brought is called Perfect Faith, and it was preached in Jeffersonville. And we want to just have you understand that this message was preached in order that he would have a prayer line or pray for the sick. And of course, therefore, he will be encouraging the people in their faith, teaching on faith. And as always, he will be referring to himself, because that would be utterly impossible for him not to do so, as you recognize that the same prophet told us we barely have enough faith for healing, then how would we get out of here in a rapture? And so his ministry would be dealing with a rapturing faith. And, of course, the rapture, he said, is a revelation. In other words, you wouldn't be having any faith for it unless God revealed to you the truth of the rapture. Now, you can be healed and healed and healed, and a prostitute can come in off the street, Brother Branham said, and you know that's true. The worst dog in the universe, literally speaking, and, you know, the lowest term of a dog is a male prostitute. So we can use these words pretty roughly, and we're coming to the place where, you know, we're talking about degenerate people, hypocritical, and you know what, can be healed. Well, he could give a message then which would build them up to the place where they could reach out like that and get healed. Or they could simply see in his ministry a reality and say, hey, that's mine, and take it. I know a fellow, and I won't say too much about him, but the fact of the matter is I have no respect for the man at all. At all. He's a preacher. And enough said on that subject. But what I was getting to was this. He was in a meeting with Brother Branham way back in 47 in Canada. And they were going through the prayer line. Everybody was. And he was an usher. And Brother Branham just grabbed him and prayed for him. He said, well, he said, I didn't ask for it, but might as well get it since I was in the prayer line. Bing, he was just like that. Well, you see, that fella had, he had faith. I'm not arguing the point. Anybody can be healed. That doesn't put you in a rapture. So, talking of perfect faith, and the thrust is for the prayer line. You know that Brother Branham is going to actually be talking more than just a message to build a person's faith up for healing. So we want to watch this message as we watch all others, so that when he is speaking in terms of faith, perfect faith, there will be times that he is speaking concerning himself, especially with Thus Saith the Lord, that it will not be referring to us except what we call the trickle-down or the example and the basis whereby that you can use that, you know, to build your faith up and to reach for your healing. Like the time the angel once a year would stir the waters at the pool of Bethesda, I think it was. As soon as they saw the stirring of the water, first one in got healed, nobody else. You see, in other words, there was something there that incited them and excited them. So, we're going to start then on page 4, and the reading, of course, here is the, I think it's the one over in Mark 11. Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. Really, the actual reading of that is, have the faith of God, is what it comes out of the Greek. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, of course, you know that there is no word that Jesus could possibly utter to make you and me believe that you could usurp the authority of God's word or take precedence over it to say something that God did not say or to say opposite to what God said and then expect the consistent God to back you up. Well, you know that right away. So never read this scripture with a loose mind. It'll kill you. See, a lot of people want to read it. Well, whatever you say, whatever you say, whatever you say. Now, Brother Branham tells this, that he pondered this. This is not in this message here. But in the message where he really pondered it, of the message of grace and different ones, he's wondering, what does this really mean? What is it all about? What I say. And God revealed it in the creation of the squirrels. Now, so you be careful. Whatever you say then will come to pass. You got to believe it. Therefore, I send you whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, this is contingent with abiding in the vine, which Brother Branham will bring up, right? So keep your thoughts right with the word. Don't get out there like Pentecostals and people who want to ditch the Bible, isolate one little part of Scripture and say, this is mine. Well, that's not the way to do it. You got to take it all. You take all of God or none of God. You take all the word or none of the word. You see, and it becomes harmonious. But when you stand praying, forgive. Now, here's a little break on that right off the bat. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, Brother Branham starts out and he says, now faith is based on forgiveness, and he leaves it flat until page 12. He just makes one statement there. Now, why does he make that statement? Because you and I know you cannot ask anything that God forbids you to ask and get it. See? Now, that's one condition. But there is also another condition, and that is you have got to be with that word, and you cannot reject it. So let's go to Proverbs, the 28th chapter, and read verse 7 or 9 or somewhere in there. I think it's verse 9, if I can find it there. All right, 28 and 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. In other words, if you do not follow the word of God and be a participant with its dictates, as you understand it by revelation, that you deliberately turn it down, your prayer is not only not heard, it is abomination. Now, let's go a little further. You can have God hear your prayer and answer your prayer, and you will still be an abomination. Well, come on. Hi, abominates. Anybody here? I'm just trying to get you relaxed and understand. But I want you serious. You and I can be abomination this morning and get answered prayer. Otherwise, where does a false anointed come in? And depart and never knew you. And now listen, remember, those false anointed ones are headships. And to be headships, you got to have bodies. So all the people out there that don't know what we know and take that scripture in Matthew 7 and look down the end of the road to the lake of fire, they're pointing at a few people out here, and they think they are a bunch of decrepit backsliders, not knowing that those are the men that are leading them, men, those same people to destruction, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, a whole bunch of them, charismatic. Right to the lake of fire, abominations. See? God says, I'm going to turn away your prayer. Now, what is the big prayer that God turns away at the end of the time? Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Prayer is just an abomination. So I want you to look at these things here. Brother Brown says, based on forgiveness. Based on forgiveness. And he turns right away from it. Right away from the fact that until page 12, where he deals with the word that says, look, you've got to have your life lined up and cleaned up. See? So just keep that in mind now. All right. Faith is based on forgiveness. And then, as we said this morning, we are trying to get the church into the place to where we could really see apostolic times amongst us. What are apostolic times? Well, just think the book of Acts. The apostles on the day of Pentecost just literally turned the world upside down. What happened? Seven deacons caught fire. People, through persecution, went around the world. In other words, they became torches from the fire of God, giving the word of God by light, revelation, and by manifestation. In other words, Brother Branham is hoping that people will begin to see Mark 16 amongst us as it should be, and beyond that. Well, it won't go beyond that. Now, that's what we all hunger for. All right, that's true. Why does he say that? Shouldn't we be hungering for the word of God more than these other things? Well, yeah, but the thing is, he's pointing people to get help in this message. And he said, that's what we hunger for, apostolic times amongst us. And it's just lying right at the door. We see it, we want to see more of it. We want such a flow that it'll be a help to us and then flow out to others. And that's the way it should be, just keep going on to others. In other words, you become a partaker and you tell others about it. And also, it shows that there should be a continuity, something going on all the time, not just something once in a while. Though thank God we like the once in a while, that's good, but there should be a continuity. In other words, it shouldn't be that people are surprised that the sick are healed. They should be surprised if they are not healed. See, that's what you're looking at. Now, I realize that we could push a healing ministry in that direction, and we would accomplish a great deal. But remember, you do not major in a minor, and healing is a minor compared to the major of people's souls being saved and the lives being transformed, proving something has been done to them, and especially transformed under this message. Remember, Jesus, as we had the lesson this morning, never used his power for himself. He used it for others. Now, there, Brother Branham, wants the people to proliferate their faith so that it's not simply, let me get the prayer, let me get help. It's, Lord, everybody needs help. And you're a great God, and in the Exodus, you took them out. There weren't any sick. The clothing didn't rot. The shoes didn't wear away. Everything was provided, and you were good to the godly and to the ungodly. The mixed multitude got the benefits, although they were there spoiling things for the true people. But you were good to them, and you weren't selfish. And that's what Brother Branham wants us to do here, is take into consideration where the Scripture says, you pray for others. And we should. You don't just pray for yourself. You've already done that. But you should be praying a great deal for others, that others might be helped. Now, he used his gift for others. Now, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 and just see how true this is when Paul is speaking to the church of anything coming to the church. And into the church, there's gifts of healings and miracles. And Brother Branham said it was possible, not only possible, but it was good. It should be that every church be fortified with all of these gifts. Okay, in 14 and 12 it says, Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And that tells you right there that no gift is given to you specifically as an individual for your own individual use. Now, it can be useful to you individually, but it is for somebody else. Brother Branham tells that about his own gift. He tells about the gift of healing and other gifts he has in it. I remember mentioned that to you, the time Billy Paul was sick and Donovan Wirtz had the cancer on his ear, and Brother Branham just touched the cancer, and the next day the cancer was about ready to fall off. Billy Paul was healed, but he showed the leg, pulled the leg of his trousers up, and he had a great big raw bruise that wouldn't go away. It just had to take its natural healing. He couldn't use the gift for himself. And I think myself that this is what has happened and what is so rank in a charismatic movement. The people kind of think they're gifted to make them somebody. And that's not true. There is no gift that is given you and me, but is in stewardship, and we are to always glorify God with whatever He's given us, and if we don't do it, we're going to be held accountable because we're taking glory from God. See, that's what Moses did. He glorified himself instead of God. He smote the rock. Now, he could smite the rock, and he certainly could. He could have smitten it again and again. You see, that's what's wrong right there. That's what I said a while ago about those people. They just false anointed. They turn down the word for the hour, and they just launch out and with anointings of gifts. They're abomination to God. Yeah. If you don't believe that, how come these short-haired women wearing slacks get away with it? And they are an abomination to God. Woman wearing a man's clothes is abomination. Now, what does God do is abominable? They burn in the lake of fire. Now look, I said a while ago a very tremendous statement. I said everything God does is godlike. Whether you like it or not, it is godlike. Now let's face it, if God takes this one and leaves that one, and does this and not another, then that is godlike. Now, who's going to cry against God? That's what they did. That's why Paul said, who are you, man, to reply against God? They said, well, that's not godlike. They said, hold it. You know, people need to be set back on their upper, so to speak, every now and then, put in their place. You know, this is a hard life. This is, pardon the expression, this is a hard age we live in. See? Isn't this the age of iron and clay? It's a complete mess. You can get clay and harden it right into rock, and iron's iron. I tell you what, God's going to come down and change all that. Now, he couldn't use his power for himself. See, there's no way. And that's what it was sent for. It was sent for others. Wasn't Jesus sent for others? Everybody wants to talk about being like Jesus, and you must be sent for somebody else other than yourself. Sure. That's why in a marriage, you know, the woman's for the man, the man's for the woman. And you don't get anywhere if the man just wants a woman all the time to do something, or she wants the man all the time. You know, in a good marriage, what happens psychologically, they say a man marries down, the woman marries up. She marries up to a good man, take good care of him. He marries down to get a woman dumb enough to take care of him. I just put that in there, put down was. But just, that's right. If one doesn't live for the other, what do you live for? See, the Bible says no man liveth on himself and no man dieth. And some people just think they do, but they don't. Just because you might develop, people develop a philosophy, live like a dog, die like a dog. That's just what you said. God didn't say that. You know, I like those old prophets. Well, what did God say about it? 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 Say, who cares what God said? They found out. You know, God doesn't collect all these IOUs at the end of every month. End of all the ages, he brings these IOUs in. All right. Now, Brother Branham brings this up. Why? And this is very strange. Why would a man, that's Jesus, that was so full of power, like him, would ever have to be sick? Now, where do you find that in any manuscript? Where do you find allusion to it in the Bible? Where do you find anybody that ever taught it? Well, let's see where Brother Branham got it, and he says it. Yes, sir, I've read in some book somewhere when he raised up that boy, the widow son from Nain, I believe, and the book is called The House, The Prince of the House of David by Ingram, that he, get my page backward here, that he sat on a rock and groaned with a headache. Now, you say, well, Brother Bid, do you believe that wasn't true? If the prophet said that's the way it was, I believe that's the way it was. See, we're getting insights here. See? He's going to take it back to the Bible now in a way that nobody else ever did. Although you can't quite find the Bible that way, because Isaiah 53 seems to always refer to the cross, though not necessarily. Now, see what I'm trying to show you here now. You could say, well, I'll just leave this out. Let's not leave anything out. Let's look at it. He sat in a rock and groaned with a headache, see? He bore our infirmity. The word bear means to carry. See, he bore them, and he had all things like we have today. In other words, those things that befall us befell him. And it goes right from A to Z. Okay. He had sickness. Now let's go back to Isaiah 53 and 4, where that chapter is on him. And we've always alluded to the cross more than we should. This is an allusion to his life. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Griefs and sorrows, according to Delix and High, Kyle, and they're the two great authorities on the Hebrew, they say that griefs and sorrows, and I forget which is which, means pains and sicknesses. And in every other place in the Bible, it is so translated. Now, why not here? Some theologian stuck his nose in. Set the tenor to take people away from healing, actually in the atonement. Because what Christ died for, he had to live, first of all. Right? Absolutely. You just don't die, brother, sister. You got to live first. And what you live, you die. And what you die for, you have lived for. Otherwise, you're a mealy-mouthed hypocrite. You know, just a shoot-off. Okay, follow that? Okay, he had sicknesses. Now I'm going to read now. He had temptations, he had trouble, he had frustrations, just as we have, because he had to be the right kind of mediator, so he had to be partaker, the husband of the fruit, before he would know. The woman at the well, and many things, see, if we look right into Scripture. Now, Brother Branham said he had frustrations. Well, if you're flustered about a thing, that means you're there's disappointment, you're kind of a nonplussed. And you're backed into a corner, I would say. You're stopped from carrying out some things that you'd like to carry out. There might be bewilderment there. Now, it says he had sickness. All right, we covered that. He had temptations. He had trouble. Now, if you're going to see that where he's talking about Christ to be mediator, which is the high priest, he would have to be a partaker of these things himself by being a true human being and going through it. So, we will go to Hebrews, the second chapter, and just read that for you, because we want to cover all of these things in here as part of Brother Branham's message being important to us to get healing, as he was giving the people these thoughts for their healing. All right, 5 to 18, the second chapter. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things under him. And that's true at this point. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. So what do we see? Here's what we're looking at. Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every, not the word man should not be there, it's every son. Everyone that died in Adam. The word should be in italics in your Bible. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons, that's what he's talking about, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now you got a militant band here, led by a captain, Captain of Israel. Now, as he's the captain, now watch also, head federal headship. for both of mankind. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one source, Jesus and us of God, for which cause he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Well, how can he be ashamed? We are brethren. And we're all of one source. Now, he could be ashamed because of the way we act. But there's no way on this point here now. He's not ashamed of us. Well, are we ashamed in his presence? All right. Saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. Therefore, as much then. Now, here's what he's watching here. Then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took a part of the same. Now, he wasn't truly human like you and I are, by sex, no way. That through death he might bring to nothing him that has the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Now you see that. Okay, let's go now to Hebrews the 5th chapter, 1 to 10. For every high priest taken among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. So Jesus had to be a man. God could not be his own high priest as per essentially God alone, spirit in a pillar of fire. Wouldn't work. Can't bleed a pillar of fire. You can't kill one either. All right. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Those that didn't know they were doing it and those that didn't know they were doing it. See? So that's going to help your faith to know this now. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought for as for the people, as also for himself to offer for sins. And no man takes his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, was strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in any that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, so you can see in all points tempted like as we are. So, what you're looking at here then, Brother Branham, is bringing out that Jesus positively bore every single thing that you and I bear and made a way for them. See? That nothing was turned aside. There isn't anybody can say that God did not make a way for it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also, we might read... over here in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we're also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily beset us, that's unbelief, and let us run patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, you've got a starter and a finisher of it. See, now who started it and who's going to end it? There's your Alpha and Omega principle of Jesus appearing to the Jews in the flesh, and then appearing to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire at the end time. Follow? Because that's the finisher of it. We'll look into that in 1 Corinthians 13, maybe two or three sermons from now on this, because this will be a while. Okay. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now that's where he was in the Garden of Eden, sweat great drops of blood, fighting his own self as a human being. And then he shed blood on the cross and the puncturing even of the very veins of his brow when they put the thorn on, the crown of thorns on him. So what you're looking at here, Brother Branham is telling you now, we want you to look at Jesus and thoroughly understand the atonement. And the fact that the same one that made the atonement is the high priest to the atonement to see that we get what he paid for. As I've said on different occasions concerning faith, when Jesus Christ died, he was the testator. He was the one who set forth the testament, the testator. But as many people are testators and leave a testament, they do not become the executors of the will in order to enforce the will, and somebody else who is alive takes over, and then your will is shot if the man is crooked or does something to make invalid the will. But Jesus Christ was the only testator who died and rose and makes sure the will is implemented and we get exactly according to the terms of the will. So that's fantastic. So that's what Brother Branham is showing us here. All right. Now, 21 paragraph. I want to say that I believe every scripture and every bit of it to be true. There are critics today that don't want to believe that. A critic once said that when Jesus sent those disciples to where the colt was tied, where two roads met, two ways met, that he prearranged that to where the colt was already tied. See, they don't understand that God had prearranged it. Now, this, what was the truth about this? The truth of the matter is this is just like prophecy. This is telling you something that's out there. Okay, Jesus telling them that that colt was there didn't make the colt to be there. God had already put the colt there. And God let him in on the secret that it was there. So is all prophecy, and so is everything that God does. He lets man have a part in it that he's standing there as a mouth or laying on a hands or some little thing. But God is doing it. So many times people think prophecy is so great. Prophecy isn't so great, brother and sister. Not as far as you and I are concerned. There's no greatness in us. It is merely this, that God, in his humility, has allowed us, in our pride and undoneness as sinners, hopefully completely born again and being transformed by grace, letting us in to know what he has already done and got there. Our prophecy has nothing to do with it. It is merely information given concerning what God has done. Yet how people like to boast about prophecy. How they like to make something because they got a ministry. You know, when people make something because they got a ministry, you got to watch it. Now, it may be that they're humble like the Apostle Paul and Brother Branham. And say, I magnify my ministry. I exalt what God has given me. That is good and that is true. But when you use it to exalt yourself, I think that's why a lot of people don't get healed. Too many simply try to prove a point or something. Rather than just get down to where the simplicity is. Like the man that was born blind, they said, not just a minute. Was this man born blind? Is this man blind, having been born that way because of sins of his parents, or did something happen so he is blind? And Jesus said, no. He said, you got the whole thing mixed up. He said, the man was born blind, but he said it wasn't visiting the sins of the parents upon the children. Oh, that true case could be true. In other words, if it hadn't been for sin way back there, it wouldn't have come on down. But he said, for the glory of God. And he prayed for the man, and the man got healed. And they said, hey, this is fantastic. There is no place in history where any man born blind ever was able to see. And the priest played it down. You know why? Because it hadn't come through them. Well, what good is a gift in a reprobate? It's the same as a jewel in a pig's snout. Now, if you're all Miss Piggies, you can run. Go ahead. We're not piggies, we're sheep. Amen. Why would God give a gift? Or why would God even heal you? Except for the glory of God. You know, humility is a big thing, brother, sister. Humility is a very big thing. Let us understand that. Like the Bible said, if God gave it you, why do you act as though you had it on your own? See, okay. So predestination. God prearranged it. God, now, Brother Branham is going to illustrate concerning himself how this works. God told me the other day with Brother Dow here that I would shake his hand on the street again. That's very strange. I wasn't here that morning, but 2 minutes longer, or a minute longer, I'd have not met him on the street. But I stepped off the car just in time to shake his hand when he was coming in on the street. In other words, Brother Brand said, exact moment, the only time I could have done it, I did it, he stepped from the car coming in, I stepped out. He was on the street now to come in, and I just stepped out of the car. There he was. He didn't know me. He had his glasses off. He couldn't see me. When he heard my voice, he started crying. What was it? Usually he doesn't do that, but it was an answer to what was told him up there under the oxygen tent. He would do it. He'd shake my hand, I'd shake his. In other words, he'd live. I also said, you'll sit in church again. That was his heart's desire. When we had the Chicago meeting, he wanted to come to that meeting, for his heart was for it. I sent him a telegram of greetings for us and his children, telling him that we were praying that he'd get well right quick. And a loving brother who visited him said that he wanted to come so bad. But here he sits tonight with us. See, that was not prearranged. That was something God was going to do, and let the prophet know he's going to do. That's all. Nothing to do with Brother Branham. Now, you've got to be in pretty good shape with God for him to let you know secrets. But on the other hand, it really doesn't mean too much either. Because I know a man that he could prophesy, and he said some things that were right. And that man cut Brother Branham to ribbons. Ruined his ministry in Africa and told lies that Brother Branham was killed in drunk and driving. Consort of the women, everything else. The man's dead now. He knows what it's all about now. Sure. No, Brother Branham didn't do that. God just let Brother Branham in on what God was doing. That's nice. If we could take that attitude of what I said just now concerning prophecy and apply it to our lives, God's just letting us in. Taking us out of the mud, putting us in the house, giving us access to the ministry that Brother Branham had, opening our eyes, God just let us in. God just let us in. God just let us in. We'd have a much sweeter relationship. Like I was just thinking this morning here, I'm going to wander a bit, but don't mind. This is part of the way I do things. Just wanting to say, well, now, what am I going to tell the people this morning? So really nothing, because by the time I talked about the clinic, what we went down there and a few things, my time's gone anyway. But I was thinking, thought to myself sitting here, you know something? We're a small group of people. And you know there's churches that have hundreds. And you look at those churches and you think, well, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had a big crowd? I'm going to tell you something. Would you people really want to be where God could use you, and you are really responsible to God? Now, if you really like, let me see your hand. You heard what I said? You'd really like God to use you, be responsible to God, you like to have that kind of life? Let me tell you, you've got to remain small. If you're big, it won't work. I'll tell you why. A little group of people, God can deal with, and they can deal with God. Why? Because they'll deal with each other. And how you and I are to each other. And it's much easier in a small group. Oh, you think, no, in a big group. No, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. Because you're trying to get out of being nice to everybody. You're trying to pass the buck or hide in the crowd. But when there's three people in the room, and somebody done it, that's a lot different from 20 people and somebody done it. So you know, a small church, God always had small things. I'll prove it to you. How big a church did William Branham have? Next to nothing. Next to nothing. How many did he want? Next to nothing. Lord, he said, fill the church for one reason. Send them all down to somebody else. Then fill it up again, send them all down to somebody else. Always thinking in terms of an outflow of somebody else, but a small group of people is the best place in the world. A small group in a very tight room where you don't have fish hooks on your elbows, as Bank Woods would say. Brother Rand's good fishing front. So I thought I'd throw that in here. Okay. All prearranged. A critic once said that no wonder Jesus could take 5 loaves and 5,000 and feed 5,000 people. The loaves were bigger in that day, and he just cut each loaf to feed 1,000. All right, a good chunk of bread. Or either they had a stomach like an oyster, smaller than an oyster, or a gnat. Brother Brand said, I give you to understand a little boy had it in his lunch, not a big man that can eat 13 eggs and pound of sausage, 2 pounds of sausage. You know some of these wrestlers? They'll eat 2 dozen eggs and 3 pounds of sausage, 48 pancakes. And they say, where's breakfast? A little child had those 5 loaves of bread. Then what about the trout basketfuls were taken up afterwards? See? That's just critics. That's all it is. That doesn't change God's word. It just moves on. Now, that speaks of this day here, over here in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 3 and 4. Knowing this first, and there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things in his were in the beginning of creation. In other words, the only time this could happen, real scoffers could come, is at the end time when people would be evidently demanding creative powers publicly manifested in order to believe that God was God and doing anything. You got him right here today. The 9th verse. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering. In other words, he's putting up with their nonsense right now. Not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. See, you got that going on right now. All right. Now, we want to speak. He's getting deep in the message now, coming to it. Now, we want to speak upon faith at this time. And a different type of faith. Now, that really will throw you into a quandary because the language becomes ambiguous. If I could get inside of Brother Branham and know just what he was thinking, that'd be a different story. Now, but listen again. Now, we want to speak at this time upon faith and a different type of faith. Perfect faith. So, questions will pop up saying, all right, are there certain kinds of faith and now we hear of a perfect faith? Well, let's just check out the Bible to begin with. Okay, let's go to Titus 1 and 4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Is there an uncommon faith then? After the common faith. Well, all that throw it out here. That's all I'm doing is throwing it out. What's a common faith? Is that like the hyssop? Everybody's got it? Good question. I'm not here to answer it. I'll have you to know that. I just brought it up to you. 1 Timothy 1 and 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Was that a common faith? Or was that some special faith that Paul had? Well, I suppose that would be revelatory. Paul preaching the truly revealed word of God. Okay, that's just a thought. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's take the 10th verse. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now at that time, notice, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. Now abides faith, earnest expectation, and love. Well, that's going to be a different faith at the end time. That which is perfect has come. By God's grace, he said, what is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word? And by God's grace, we believe we have the perfect revelation of this hour. So that's something else to look at concerning faith, right? Okay, let's go to Romans, the 4th chapter. Brother Branham goes into this one later on. Let's just talk about it ahead of time, though. 2021. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's for 25 years. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How strong in faith was he when his wife said, take Hagar? Well, you say it was convenient because he liked the thought. No. Maybe he did, but that's not it. His faith wasn't near as good as it was back down here at the end of the trail. And being fully persuaded. Was he fully persuaded concerning Sarah when he took Hagar? By no means. By no means. He could not have been fully persuaded and then done contrary to his persuasion. If I'm persuaded that I'm going to eat peanuts instead of walnuts, I better eat peanuts, or I'm not persuaded.
providing they're both there together. And they were there together. Hagar was there and Sarah was there. Well, you say, well, the thing is this, Hagar's like into peanuts. You can easily take the shell off, but Hagar's too much like a walnut. It's a hard job cracking. In other words, she may never bear a child. God said she would. She better eat walnuts. You said you believe in walnuts? You're not going to eat peanuts. How persuaded was he? He wasn't persuaded. Sarah wasn't persuaded. She got persuaded when she got rebuked. God had to come down and hit her twice. One time she was hit through God speaking to Abraham and through Abraham to her. Next time she came into view, there and there. Think it over. There's a faith right there. Being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able to perform. Do you think there's going to be a rapture? Should I know it? How? Well, man, this is it. Do you believe there's going to be a resurrection? And you? Yep. When? Any day now. Of course, I've got to tell you the truth about it. My generation may just miss it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's 20 and 30 year olds over here that aren't going to miss it. So what happened? You got a persuasion. Now this doesn't make you crazy, wacky, sell everything you got and act like a bunch of idiots and go on top of the mountain and pull stupid things out of your hat, out of your minds. You just know. And like Abraham, you'll wake up one morning, change. Sweet, goes over your body. All right, what faith was that? Was that the faith we're talking about under 1 Corinthians 13? Come on now. Faith has turned to expectation. Wait, tomorrow? Love of God holds you steady. God himself holds you steady. God in full manifestation. What kind of faith is that? Is that what he's talking about? Let's throw some more faith. We just want to get a little puzzlement in here. Just look at faith. 17th chapter of Matthew. And it's the 20th verse. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Okay, great, mustard seed faith. Let's go over here now to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll end up with the 13th chapter again. And we will read the second verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Jesus said a grain of mustard seed. Paul said all of it. One said a grain of mustard seed would move a mountain. The next one said all faith move mountains. So therefore all faith or big faith and little faith, there's nothing to the size of it. Depends on the person using it. Right? That's the only conclusion I can draw. Because the Bible doesn't contradict the Bible. Christ can't contradict Paul, and Paul can't contradict Christ, because when Paul got through teaching, he said, you've been taught of Christ. We've been taught of Christ. Look at all, you know, it's a funny thing. All these, everything in the world today is just a sign of everything. What was one of the big TV shows when Brother Branham was here? I Got a Secret. Will the real person now stand up? Many, I don't care where you go. Everything, look at, this hour is this hour. So everything physical from the degenerate spirit has to look right to the true, regenerate by the true spirit. Can't help it. Every type, every shadow. Show some more. Okay, big faith, little faith. What are you going to do? Okay, with that, let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And here's a good one right here. 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as many have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another. Now that's really good. Now this is why I say a small church has got to be a big church. You don't have to spread yourself thin at all. Just make yourself thick and say, okay, we're stuck with each other. Wonderful. Now let's improve the situation.
Yeah.
Ha, ha. Ooh, you can have the big churches. I'm glad we're a small church. We ought to cut the size down even now. To build a smaller church, we're going to build over there. Cut the half acres down to 13 acres and build smaller. No, we have people visit us. We're not worried about big churches. Okay. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now watch this. A measure of faith and a measure of grace. And people say they can't be true servants of Christ and operate gifts or be gifted people. See? Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So, all right. If you prophesy according to proportion of faith, you will give according to proportion of faith. You will exhort according to proportion of faith. You will rule according to proportion of faith. You will show mercy with you according to proportion of faith. And everyone's got grace to do it. As Irenaeus said, there's hundreds of gifts in the body of Christ. So don't be Pentecostal. Look at the 9 gifts. 3 spoken, like tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Faith, healing, miracles. You know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and stuff like that. There's one more, I forget what it is. Okay, so we're looking at faith. Now we want to speak at this time upon faith. And a different type of faith, perfect faith. That's a great thing. Now about faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. So now he's going to narrow this faith down to whatever you got. No doubt he's going to bring it to a place by the time he's finished that you and I are able to apprehend healing. Now, let's stop right here and make a little statement. I don't want to turn anybody for loop, but I'm going to say everything that Brother Branham said as long as it comes to my mind. Brother Branham said, you know that we preach salvation as though everybody's going to be saved, but it's not meant for some. So we do the same with healing. What is he doing? For everyone that healing is meant for, he is preaching faith so we don't miss it. How often has the light, the pillar of fire, stood over a woman or a man and said, oh, they're going to miss it. There it went. Missed it. Person meant to have it. Now, you know something? I believe there's people here this morning, myself included, are meant to be healed and we're missing it. And so, therefore, that is what I believe this sermon is all about. To bring us to that place. And it's called a perfect faith on the grounds that it gets results. Also, he wants to train us in a walk of faith so that it is not sporadic, once in a 10-year, once in a lifetime, once in so many times, but a continuous moving, a walk of faith and a gathering of faith. So that's why he'll talk about forgiveness and many other things. Okay, let's keep moving. That's a great thing. Now, about faith, we're told in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing. Try to use the Bible. Now, you cannot be saved without faith. That's right. By grace is saved through faith. And faith has to do with something that you believe to be there, is there, that really nothing else will declare it is there but faith. Faith deals, in other words, with what there is literally no evidence as far as the scientist, the test tube, the agnostic, or the infidel is concerned. He says, taint so. What about phenomena? Well, there's out there in nature. Calf with two heads. Where'd it come from? Flower out there, never saw that flower before. He shrugs it off. So, all right. Faith has to do with something that you have to believe is there. It really is there. That really nothing else will declare it is there but your faith. So get that feeling. It's there already. Okay. Now I'm trying to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for this prayer line in the next few minutes. Now, Brother Branham, of course, when he talks about that faith, I'm sure he's quoting over here from the book of Hebrews again. So we'll go over there in Hebrews 11 chapter, and we'll read the first verse and the third. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that word evidence doesn't mean that it's going to appear before you. It means a conviction. Faith is a conviction. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God made something out of what apparently to us is nothing. So, there is something there. I know it is there. And don't tell me it's not there because it is there. They're going to say, well, prove it, show it, this, that. No, I can't. All I know is it is there. You tell me, what in the world could Brother Branham do about his prophecies? Thus saith the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. If it didn't come out in the open somewhere, it showed that his faith was vain. But you knew it wasn't vain, and something was there because something appeared. So, because there's nothing there as far as you know, doesn't mean that something isn't there. See? You walk into a room full of carbon monoxide. I don't think monoxide has a smell, does it? Carbon dioxide? Monoxide. But then fine, if it's got no smell and you don't know it's there, well, it's not here. Don't smell a thing. That's a teaching, Bugs Bunny. Smarting off all the time to the to the old fellow long whiskers, he'll get you hit with that shotgun. Too many Bugs Bunnies jumping around here. Not here, but you know, in the world. See? Faith has to do with something that you have to believe is there, that really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. In other words, you've got no reason to say it. But it's there. Now I'm trying to bring you there. Now faith, concerning faith. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. Now personally, I wish you hadn't stopped there, but that's his business. Because you've got to believe he's a rewarder. Then the diligently seek him. In other words, you don't only believe in a God, you believe in a God that produces according to how God wants the production and under the conditions that you and I might not exactly want. But we can get through those conditions. Okay. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. That's right. And if you say you believe God and you have never seen him, then you've got to believe it by faith. Now, man says, I believe God. Have you ever seen him? No. How do you account for it then? Well, just got to be. See? In other words, it's not by scientific evidence or expression, though the Bible says, and anybody knows, if he's really honest, that you cannot see nature and not know that there is a God. Now, the agnostic and the evolutionist and the atheist, they want to put it off on evolution. Like Brother Branham said, that is thinner than the broth made from a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. I don't know. Now, and if you, now watch this statement though. Well, let me first of all, the one about Hebrews 11:27, not seeing God. Moses forsook Egypt by faith, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, faith is genuine sight. It's reality. Now watch the next statement. And if you could see him, it would be no more faith. Now, hold it. Is that really true? Yeah, it's really true. But be careful how you take it. It doesn't say you'd have no more faith in God. It just says you wouldn't have to have faith that there is a God. You just know there's a God. Prove it. Prove it, see? Okay. The principle of seeing God, if you could see Him, it'd be no more faith. All right. Let's just take a look at somebody that can't see God. You're not going to look at Him. And I'm not going to stretch Scripture here, Isaiah 42, but I think I'm going to be accurate in my assessment. I'm going to talk about Jesus in Isaiah 42, 1-25, and then I think we're going to have to close because pretty quick time has gone on. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. The bruised reed shall not break, the smoking flax not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth, or unto victory. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith God the Lord, that he created the heavens, and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Now notice breath and spirit to everything. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. Now that's right now. To open the blind eyes, to bring out of the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I'll not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. In other words, don't try to see me, and don't try to figure me. Just listen. Now, you know that's the truth? Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise from the ends of the earth, ye that go down to sea and all that is therein, and the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities lift up their voice, and so on. Now, I'm going to just skip over further, because you know I'm talking about Jesus there, right? Okay, now, in verse 19, let's go to 17. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to more images, well, you are our gods. Now, see, we looked at Messiah here. Now, watch. Who is, hear ye deaf, and look ye blind that you may see. Now, watch. Who is blind but my servant? As deaf is my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Now, Christ had to be totally blind as a man to everything but the invisible God. Now that's what we're looking at here. To understand what we're saying here. You and I are in the same category. I can read a bit further. Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers. For a spoil, and none saith restore. Now this, brother, sister, has to do with the end time, because it is here that we learn that he comes to the Gentiles, and he doesn't lift his voice in the street. Now the church at this time should be consistently blind to everything but revelation. The knowledge that there is a true God, and we need nothing as further proof and no physical manifestation. We should be to that place right today. Now we are that way when it comes to this message. Live or die, sink or swim. Where are we going? We know that none of this is going anywhere outside of what we believe here. If we're wrong, we're wrong. If we're shot, we're shot. And we don't believe that. We believe we're right. No, most people don't like us for that, because we take a very tough stand, and we shall take a tough stand. I believe we could die for what we believe. I don't know how we do it, but I believe we would. No, I don't even like arthritis. I'll let someone cut my head off or jabbing knife in me. Well, who knows? Just a great big toothache without an anesthetic. Just flew through your whole body. You live, you die, you know. I don't know. I don't know if I got a martyr spirit or anything else on me. Hope I got the spirit of God. That'll take care of me. Same to you. See, there's people robbed and spoiled, snared and so on. And none saith restore. Huh, did they say Elijah's come to restore? Did the organization say it? Did the preacher say it? Oh, no, they were going to do it. Sure, they were looking to Elijah. Elijah's us. Okay. That's enough on that. Let's go to Isaiah. Read on Isaiah 43. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Well, hey, you got to just keep your eyes off those waters then, eh? When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Now, this is the 91st Psalm, but you don't read it. Hallelujah. The plague won't come near you because, bless God, ain't going to be no plague. Yep. Oh, yeah. Why? The rivers won't overflow because, hallelujah, we live in the prairies. Ain't no rivers going to overflow. No. Because you're going to walk through them overflowing. Come right through the AIDS. As they cure the AIDS, something far worse because every germ is mutating. Getting worse and worse and worse. They told you the cold bug was mutating all these years. Now, who knows, it could be a cold bug fully mutated. Everything has its roots in infection. You get all the infection out of your body, boy, you in shape, kid. Well, sure, that's giving you some physiology. I'm not telling you that. See? If you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. No flame will kindle upon you, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. What did he give a ransom? He said, I blotted them out for you. Right. He said, they got in your way. I took care of them. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. You think we're going to be here for the great tribulation? No. Fear not, I am with thee. I'll bring thee thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. The gathering in the west is going on right now, too. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I made him. Notice the words there, created and formed. All worked by God. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and deaf that have ears. That all the nations be gathered together, that the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Who's showing us the former things right now? He did. He came down in the form of the Holy Ghost and did exactly the same things he did when he was here on earth. Amen. The former reign is returned. The teaching of Paul. There's not one thing that isn't in full effect at this time. You know, people are so busy scrapping and fooling around, they don't see the glory that we see. You know, the best thing anybody can do is just stay home, not go anywhere. Just live your life where the people of God are. Who needs anything else? All you got out there is just jangle, jangle, jangle. Nobody can prove anything. It's all been proven. And the true believer is a part of that which has been proven. Just rest on it, see? So you don't have to see the blindness. So you got blinders on. Oh, thank God. Me, thank God you got blinders on. Oh, yeah. Where you got my blinders on? Got the blinkers. You know what they put on a horse? Blinkers, so he can't see it this way and that way. It spooks him. Get your blinkers on so you don't get spooked. Little boy riding the bicycle. Look right down the end of the line. Go straight. Okay, let's keep reading. Ye are witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me. By revelation. Understand that I am he, absolutely. And before me was no God formed, neither after me shall there be any God. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And so on right down the line. See? You're shut into it. See? So, all right. Now let's just think about those who have seen God. That's what you and I are like. There are those who have seen God. That is, they have seen the manifestation which is for all intents and purposes having seen God, and yet not seen God. Isaiah 6, 1 to 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We sing about that. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. 20 to cover his face. 20 to cover his feet. 20 did fly. Hey, that's great. That's the number of man, the way 2 6 wings. And one to another cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Prove that one. It is. Just can't see it. Just can't. You know, there's a little lady back down there in Florida years ago. I forget her name. She's a real fruitcake, according to everybody. And she was, you know, she wore funny clothes, and she did funny things, and she was a help and that what have you. And one day the hurricane went through, you know. And the trees were ripped up, everything's thrown. She said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God." They said, "Woman, are you nuts?" She said, "Listen, I was just thinking, if a storm could do that, how much can our God do?" But the old girl had something. I wasn't quite fall in love with her, but she had something there. I don't think anybody else fell in love with her either. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now listen, the house being filled with smoke is at the end time when everything is over, and you notice in here the post being moved shows that everything is gone. Organization, everything is gone. It doesn't say what was under the post was moved. You're in that age right now. Now, brother, sister, this is what we are looking at. This man here saw God, but it didn't change 1 minute his own life of faith that you and I enter into because he had this and brought us the revelation. And William Branham was no different. So whatever William Branham puts in this sermon, he is putting it there concerning himself, not concerning the dynamics of his own irrefutable revelation. Because William Branham said, "I hate being stuck in a tube." And one day complaining to me, he said, "Yeah, I don't understand." I said, "Brother Branham, I have no problem understanding how that you could have a greater job with your faith than I could have in mine." He said, "How?" I said, "I'll tell you why. If I had what you had, I would want to use it all the time and literally forget what I've got over here to use." And I said, "By the time you switch back and forth, like the trouble you had between visions and these, and coming out in the open, you know, like back to his normal walk, it was a burden." And I can see how that Brother Branham, as a human being, positively could just say, "Hey, you know, I have a problem." Anybody, that's greater than you and mine and ours. So don't think for 1 minute we're talking in a certain area of a tremendous ministry that Brother Branham, though mentioning it, is not really trying to use everything in his power to bring us to the place where we relax and begin to see that we are recipients of the grace of God and the promises of God, and then begin to enter into. That's what he's trying to do in this message here. And I'm trying to show you all these facets so that you don't get, you know, carried away. Like, let's look over here in the book of John. And let's take the truth of the book of John in chapter 14 and see a man who saw God. And we saw God the way God wanted to be seen. Now, let's say I wanted to be seen in a blue suit. I would wear my blue suit. And if I wanted to be seen in silver rimmed glasses, I'd wear my silver. I don't think you got a pair left. Well, I could find the broken ones and wear them. And if I wanted to wear my black shoes instead of my brown, I'd have my black shoes on. Because I wanted to be seen in that way. Then, just the same. Well, brother, they always came in a brown, in a green suit. With a green hat and a toupee. And his cuffs always showed with a little lace on them. So you see, that can't be Brother Leah. You're wrong. I will dress and appear the way I want to dress, and it is I. Therefore, God can appear any way he wants to appear. And you see God the same as you see me. And I can pull a bag over my head or a gunny sack. The minute I talk, though, it gives it away. I say hogwash. You'd say that's Lee Dale. I'm seeing him. That's exactly true with God. Let's look at it. 7th verse, John 14. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. He says, ooh, just a minute. That's how God wanted to be seen. So he was seen. Jesus, the physical man, wasn't God. He was Zoe. Spirit becoming flesh. Taking on a chemistry. We'll get some of these things. You know, little by little, we get truth, brother, sister. And thrilling, too. And Philip says, hey, I don't get that. Show us the Father. It'll suffice us. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you have not yet known? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, because I am the substance of the substance. I am the literal outreigning of Almighty God, the fullness of the attributes in human flesh. When you see me, you literally see God. Now, watch what he said. Believest thou not I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me. Speaks those words. He does the works. What are you looking at then, Philip? Believe me, I am the Father, the Father me, thou believe me, the very works sake, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that can take this and understand God the prophet, actually can take this, that man will do the very works that Jesus himself did. Because he's going to the Father as a man, and therefore in this hour, we saw God in the form that God wanted to be seen. Once more in human flesh. Now that changes theology. And according to theologians and organizations, aggrandizes man. Yeah. And therefore it's blasphemous. Hogwash. In spite of the gunny sack, you know it's evil. Let's go to 1 John. First chapter. First four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes, which you have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. Of the Logos of life. We handled the Logos of Zoe. The full manifestation of the concept of Almighty God. God developing, coming to a place of human flesh. God creating himself in the form of human flesh. For the life of Zoe was manifested. Manifest in that place means absolutely according to the character of Almighty God. And his true character. We have seen it. Bear witness. Show unto you the eternal Zoe, which was with the Father, and was absolutely unequivocally manifested to be that. That which we have seen, which we have heard, be clear unto you, that you may have fellowship with us also. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There is a Father and there is a Son, and the Father is God. And the Son is the Son of God. I am not Jesus only. I'm looking for that body to meet in the air. And the Spirit that's here amongst us, not in us, but amongst us. And the Spirit we have in us is from the one that is amongst us, incarnates himself. We'll crown him King of King and Lord of Lords. It's going to be a great day. They said, we've handled, we've seen him. What about those men? They still had to go the pathway of faith. So sight does not obviate the fact, the unseeable God, you must believe that he is there. And the principle goes to the Apostle Paul, to William Branham, to every single one of us. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. Let me try to get this paragraph finished. Now, and if you could see and be no more faith, anything that senses declare is no more faith. What is he saying there then? He said, look, I saw him, I know. That's what John said. We handled him, I know. Don't try to kid me. Okay, what happened? How are they going to get this across? Hebrews 2. I'll likely read it later on down the road again. First couple of verses of 3-4. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, and it did, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first it began spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. How are you going to turn it down when that one, God, manifested through him, came down here with the seals and proved it? No more faith. You come to knowledge. Faith, no more faith when you see it. You don't have to have faith for a broken bone when the bone's healed in front of your eyes. It's over. Don't you understand this is what the presence is all about, reality? You're not dealing anymore. Is he going to come? Will there be a rapture? He is here now. He has brought the message. He is waiting to raise the dead and to change us. What's going on now? Don't anybody kid you, brother, sister. These guys in Chicago write letters and all. I get so sick of those guys. They don't know they're cutting their own throat and destroying people. I'm standing in the judgment today. The white throne's on. I'm not afraid. Not a bit afraid. I'm not bumptious. I'm not stupid. I'm saying what the prophet said right down the line here. You're not dealing, brother, sister, with faith in this regard anymore. But you're still dealing with the other faith like Brother Branham had trouble with. Could you shake him after seeing the pillar of fire and that angel walk in and say, God, can Billy Paul see him? Billy Paul saw him? Oh, he cast a spell on his son. You know, isn't it wonderful? We should all love the devil because he's got so much more power. And he's got so much more truth. See, spare me. Spare me from rabid Pentecostism and dead fundamentalism. Because they're both going to go to the lake of fire unless there's repentance. Anything that senses declares no more faith is scientific fact. It's no more faith. But you have to accept him by faith. Brother Branham had to accept by faith. And he got born again. No more sin. My time run out? Ha! It's too bad. We haven't finished this. Here. He that comes to God must, don't worry about it, must come to God. And hearing comes by the word of God. This is a good place to stop anyway and to start over. To show you we have come to a place which is past just the simple faith that brings healing. Therefore, we will come to the place for that. Follow? Okay, let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, Lord. And appreciate the fact you're with us today. Appreciate the fact, Lord, that people love you, love the Word. We love each other. Appreciate the fact, Lord, you show us we've got to get down to business as never before. Small group of people, Lord, that's the best in the world because, Lord, everything begins to show up on a big canvas, Lord. There's lots of room to move around. There's lots of room here, Father, for the few of us that are here. But how much better, Lord, as the Bible said, if two lie together, one keeps the other warm. We ought to keep those principles before us at all times, Father. Work for each other's benefit at all times. Know what is good for each other. And then for the common cause, for the love of Christ constraining us, Lord, begin to live lives which are commensurate with what we have in this hour. Help us, Lord. I know we can do it. We don't care about the past, Lord. We've been failures maybe a million times. But you said in this last day, this last hour, that there would be such of those people who live godly lives all the way down the line. Just live, live, live. Fine, fine, fine. Good, good, good. But turn down the truth. No hope for them. And there'd be those, Lord, that could be absolutely look like